Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry. And by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio and watching us on TECN TV as well. Great to have you with me. I've got a great program lined up for you. Top of next hour, Dr. David Wormser will be joining us along with Don Jans. Don will be my co-host in that segment. We'll be talking about what's happening in Israel. Another country has declared war on Israel this morning, and we'll have that information for you coming up. There's a great deal going on, including an invasion in the north, and we'll bring you up to speed with regards to all of that. Chaps is with us today. He'll be live from India, actually, and we'll get a update from him on how they are responding maybe to the things that are happening in Israel, as well as what he's seeing there. As you know, we had our live service in India yesterday. 69 salvations and 52 testimonies of healings yesterday in our service, and we just give God all the glory. Bottom of this hour, Dale Holst is with me here, and in Texas we're talking about farming and ranching. It's the First Amendment to the Constitution. Is it a civil right or is it a natural right? We'll talk about that. I've come out and said that I believe we need to vote no, because I believe we do not need to give the state any access to deciding whether or not farmers and ranchers can farm and ranch, period. And it's always the sneaky way in, but we'll talk with Dale about it and get his thoughts as well. All right, I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. It has been far too long since he has been with me, and I feel terrible about that. We have been friends now for, golly, almost 10 years, I think. We met at Value Voter Summit when all of this first began, and it's been my absolute joy to know Coach Joe and his precious wife, and I want to welcome Coach Joe Kennedy to the program. Coach, welcome. Good to have you.
It is great to hear from you and see you, brother.
Oh man, it's wonderful to be with you. I'm for those that may not be fully aware of your situation, give them the brief encapsulation of what happened and why we're here today.
Yeah, I was that really bad kid that didn't know what to do with his life. Found out that I had a calling for the Marine Corps, served my country for 20 years. And then when I got out, I found God and ended up God calling me to be a coach. I coached for 8 years. And after each game, I would thank God afterwards with a 30-second prayer on my knee on the 50-yard line. It went on for 8 years without a hitch. And then in the eighth year, the school district found out that I was praying, and it started an ugly legal battle, and they ended up firing me, and I had to sue them, and we went to the Supreme Court twice, but I had to lose 7 times on my way there. That's a good summary.
I think that is a very good summary. You know, I was going to try to dash out for 1 second, because I have from your legal team a football signed by you and a letter. And that's actually, someone who signed on to the amicus brief on the winning case at the Supreme Court. I was asked if I would lend my name to it. You know, I mean, it's a little small name, but just to stand in support with you. Let's talk about the assault on religious liberty, because I think that, you know, no matter which side, if you want to take sides, but there is certainly a side of the conversation. And there are individuals who do not believe that in America there is any kind of religious persecution, than that, in fact, there needs to be greater separation between the religious folk and the state.
Yeah, never a good never a good idea.
Because I know that as someone who's kind of at the tip of the spear on this, you're going to hear from people who are going to be on your side and with you. You're going to hear from people that are going to be very adamantly against you. But there's a quiet voice, I have to think, that's reaching out and saying, I've got a similar issue or similar issues. How do you help me? Kind of a thing. Are you hearing, are you getting those kinds of messages?
Oh, all the time. And it's amazing how people do not really understand what the whole separation of church and state means. They think it means one thing, and it has absolutely nothing to do with that. It's made for to protect people of faith, which is so incredible that if people don't even know their background, they don't know their history, and it's not in the Constitution or in the amendments. Now, when they talk about the First Amendment, the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion, yeah, we don't want the government. I'm very much against the government coming in and establishing a religion. they shouldn't have any business in telling us what we are to believe and how we are to believe in it. But I see this all over the United States, and it's been happening more and more. I don't even know if it's happening more frequently or if people are finally fed up and saying, hey, wait a minute, my rights apply here. I get to have a voice. I'm an American, and you can't take my rights away from me. I think we're becoming more vocal. I don't think there's more attacks. I just think that we're finally fighting back for once, which has given me a lot of hope. And I hear from them all the time, and I direct them directly to the, you know, First Liberty Institute, who handles all religious liberties, ADF, which handles a lot of constitutional stuff. There's a million groups out there that people need to find out more information on what their rights are. If you don't know, then man, go get smart on it.
Well, and to that end, you know, we're seeing a tremendous amount of attacks on our Jewish brothers and sisters as well right now, especially as a result of what's happening in Israel. How concerning is that to you when you watch the anti-Semitism, the marching on college campuses, down Main Street, all of these, in rallies in Manhattan? When you're watching things like that, does it make you wonder what the response is going to be current to the Christian climate here in America?
Oh, I'm so concerned, because we know where this is coming from. It's not just a fight between, you know, different factions, but this is a fight for our very souls of good and evil that's been going on, the battle that we can't see. But the amazing thing is that where are these kids learning to fight like this and what to rebel against? This is pure ignorance, that they don't understand their history lesson whatsoever. They're going by ideologies that are given to them by other people. They stop thinking and are just joined with, oh, well, this is what's popular on campus right now. You see it all over the place. Instead of looking at it, is this right or wrong? They just go along with it. But I would never pick a fight with Israel. And that's just bad news. And anybody who doesn't understand that really needs to start studying the Bible and also history to find out what it exactly means. Even if you're not a person of faith, you don't go against Israel because bad things happen. So, man, I'm concerned of how that's going to spill over, and what are Christians doing about it? That's my big thing, is why are we allowing this to happen in our country? Why aren't we demanding? We have peaceful protests. That's okay. That's your First Amendment, or one of your amendment rights is to be able to, you know, to protest in you know, civilly. But why aren't we going up against these people and standing firm and saying enough is enough?
You know, part of the problem that I'm seeing is I'm seeing a lot of Christians that have taken on this idea that, well, you know, Israel's really not, you know, God's chosen people anymore. The Jews aren't God's chosen people anymore. I mean, I've watched this in some of my Facebook streams where these individuals are just coming out and they're basically just saying, no, one of the reasons that I went on air October the 7th was because of some things that Steve Bannon was saying that were just really not pro-Israel. And you know, calling into question, and I thought, wait, this is not right. And actually, I ended up with Dr. David Wormser, who will be on the top of the next hour. And at that time, he was in Tel Aviv when this attack happened, and he was actually working with Israel's high command. Now, obviously, he couldn't share with me the things that he discussed with them that couldn't be released publicly. But we were talking as sirens were going off. God woke me up that morning and gave me prayer points to pray for Israel before I knew even the details of what was going on. But how do we respond to that, Coach, when, you know, I'm sure you ran into this. You ran into people. I know you did. You ran into Christians who said to you, Coach, you know, turn the other cheek, lay down, let this go, don't fight this fight. How do you respond to that kind of Christianity?
Yeah, well, number one, I try not to get angry, because it's all out of ignorance. And when somebody doesn't know, how can you fault them for that? And if they are going against something that they do know, then guess what? That's when we need to set them straight. That's when we need to get together and actually have a discussion on the differences between what's right, between what's wrong. And it's Christians today should never be attacking each other. There is so many things out there that we could be standing up for and fighting for. God should be the top of the list, and Christians should be at the bottom of that list. The idea that we're going to fight each other over something that's happened across the world is absolutely insane. And man, I'm not that kind of Christian that, you know, is turn the other cheek and huggy squeezy. I mean, you know me, brother. I'm the guy that's going to punch you in the neck, and you don't want to fight with me. You should rather talk to me and have a conversation with me instead of taking me on.
Well, you're a Marine. And once a Marine, you're always a Marine. But I think, you know, I mean, the Word of God in Ephesians 6 says, put on the full armor of God. And so, you know, and then he says, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we're in a war. We're to be pulling down strongholds. We're to be fighting. By the way, I ran out really quick. I wanted to get, this is the football that I was sent by First Liberty.
I remember signing those. It says 2T47 on there, right?
This one is 1 Timothy 6:12.
Oh, 6:12. Oh, you got the old school one.
I got. This. 1 Timothy 6:12, and then from First Liberty, I got their letter of appreciation for being a part of that, but. I was honored, you know, to help you.
We need to do more. We need to get together, and I could thank you properly, because a football and a letter isn't enough for what you've done for me and standing with me, brother. Your prayers have been just paramount, and you have been in the fight with me this whole entire time. And so, dude, you're one of my brother warriors, and man, I love you.
I love you too, Joe. I love you too, and your wife Denise. I love both of y'all, and I appreciate you very much. We're friends on Facebook, but you know we do private messages as well. And I know when you know these challenges have been there, I've tried to be there for both of y'all in sending messages of encouragement back and forth, and just letting you know that you're always in my thoughts and in my prayers.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and let's not, you know, I think people need to understand too, Joe, that, you know, and I'd like you to bring this from a Marine perspective, but prayer is not some weak, willy thing. Prayer is where the fight is. I mean, when you get into spiritual warfare, you're going to get hit. But you need to know that he who is in you is greater than the one you're fighting. But talk to me about how significant that spiritual warfare fight really is.
Yeah, I would have been absolutely destroyed if it wasn't for prayer. Not just my prayers, where I was praying for this to, you know, turn out good and to protect my family. I mean, I was on my knees. My wife was on my knees. All my friends were on their knees. But the best thing is, I mean, if you take a look at it and just take a step back from just my case alone and looking at, wow, this was over a 30-second prayer on a 50-yard line. That is not news. That's not something that should go to the Supreme Court. Why is that even, you know, noteworthy? Because that happens every single day. Well, the enemy thought they could exploit it. And we know that Satan's a punk. So he's going to exploit it. And next thing you know, we're in the fight for our life. But the reason why we won and won in such a big way and why it went to the Supreme Court and it's been on the news and now there's my book and there's a movie on it is because people prayed. When America turns to prayer, God listens. If we didn't pray about it, if nobody would have thought about, you know, oh, that's just a coach praying in Washington and didn't pray about it, none of this would have happened. I would have just been crushed. I mean, we would have survived, but we wouldn't have made it to where we are. We would never open up the First Amendment like it has and overturn all of these other things. If you're not praying, you're losing. You're absolutely losing the battle. That's where you start. I mean, you have to start there. Everybody thinks, oh, I need to go run and do this, and I do need to do that. No, you start on your knees. You start in prayer with yourself, and then you bring in your family. Then you bring in your church. Then you bring in your community. You expand out, but everything starts right here in your heart with God.
I'm so glad that you're bringing, because this is just such a critical point to me. And you know, with regards to what's going on, what we talked about just a moment ago with Israel and with these students and where they're getting this indoctrination. I mean, indoctrination is something that's not just happening on college campuses. It's starting now all the way in preschool with the perversion and the gender issues and what Riley Gaines has brought forward. And all of these are assaults on our Christian biblical values. And it really is because prayer and the Bible have been removed from public life.
Yeah, and one of the good things about our case was that, you know, what was it, 50 years ago when they started taking God out of the school, and we've been hindered by a bunch of bad case law. So we've been under the assumption that there's that separation and you're not supposed to have your faith in the public square. Well, that's the thing about our case, is that now it just reset the clock. And now we have the ability, like we always should have been, to be able to stand and be firm in our beliefs and bring it right into the public square. Because if we're not talking about our morals, where's our society going to go? Right. And you keep, even God forbid, but if you took God out of the equation altogether, say some non-believer said, oh, that God thing has nothing to do with it. But if you start destroying our kids and start taking away the morals of our children, what's going to happen to them when they get older? That's the thing that they're not even realizing, that there should be a moral compass in this world. You and I know it's God, but for some reason, some people just have forgotten that. And we need a wake-up call, and we need to share. That's why we're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be out there sharing and being the salt of the earth. And we can't do it if we're hiding in our homes and sitting, you know, in our living rooms complaining about what's on the news. Because yep. Anything you see, the media is going to eat it up and spit it out the way they want it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you make a really important point, too, by the way, that I think people need to understand regarding the significance of your case. Because, you know, I had First Liberty on my program in the early years of my show on a weekly basis. And then we, you know, had some things shift and we brought them on, and they were on a biweekly basis. But here was the thing, and I talked with them about it. Because of the way case law at that time was construed, things like a cross in public, oh, that's not, can't be Christian. It's got to be a historical this or a historical that. It was, they had to take this approach predicated on how these cases had been decided up to that point as to how they were allowed to fight to keep those things in the public, but not have them referenced as a Christian symbol. Your case has broken that glass ceiling, if you will. Now we can say about a cross on a graveyard, yes, that represents Christianity. That represents God. The person in the ground believed in Jesus Christ, their family believed in Christ, and they wanted a cross on their grave.
Yeah, and it even goes farther than that. The Ten Commandments that were up in courthouses, that got taken down, all of these statues of everything that people have been trying to remove. Let's be an American and pull it back out. And if there's not one there, put it up. You are free to put up the Ten Commandments anywhere you want. You want to put up a Bible verse in your work? Do it. You want to have a Bible on your desk? Do it. And never be afraid to share. I mean, we talk about these silly things like diversity, equity, and inclusion. I mean, talk about ignorance. If you look at those things, diversity means everyone. Well, everyone is everyone. Nobody's special. Then we think about, you know, equity. Equity is, you know, equality for all men. Well, under that was given by God, gave us that right. That's not an American thing. That is the rights of all people, because we are all equal in the eyes of God. And then inclusion means everybody. So them separating and dividing us and trying to think that they're more special and they get these rights and you don't have them, that's just pure nonsense. And we need to stand up against that. We need to be firm in our faith and say, hey, you want to bring your whatever to the workplace or into our school? Guess what? We're going to bring God into the school. Now it's perfectly legal. That's what we did. We brought God back into our schools. So we need people to stand up and do that.
And we need school boards to know that they can do it. We need principals to know. We need teachers to know. We need teachers to know that they can bring their Bible in and set it on their desk in their room, and that's okay. Or put a scripture up that you know is something that is that they believe or what have you, that they can be more upfront and vocal about their faith. And that they do have a protection with the First Amendment, and the Supreme Court has said so.
Absolutely. And I that's what I wanted to do was go around to all 50 states and talk to as many people. And, you know, I'm only one guy, but man, I will go wherever I am called to share that message and to bring God back into our schools and let everybody know what their rights are as an American. If I could hold a class for every school in America, it'd be wonderful. I wish we still had the Department of Education that we used to have. She was so awesome. Now we got who knows in there doing what to our kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Joe, I appreciate it. I want to plug this. I've got it on the screen, but I want to plug it to our radio audience. Average Joe is the book. It is the story of Coach Kennedy's journey from his knees on a football field all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And as he said, it's the victory that he won, that God delivered for all of us to be able to express ourselves in prayer and also by word and by deed and by invoking God in our public lives once again. Coach, thank you for fighting this fight. We're going to get you back really soon, and I would love it. Let me know when you're going to be in Texas, and we'll make it happen. We'll get together.
Absolutely, because, hey, brother, I don't know if you can see it on the screen. I got your copy right here that I signed for you.
Oh, man, awesome. Oh, I can't wait to get it. I cannot wait to get it. You got to bring it in person if you can.
Well, of course. That's why I'm still holding on to it.
I love it. I love it. All right. Hey, folks, we got to take our break. Dale Hulse joins me now on the other side. We're going to talk about farmers and ranchers. Is it a natural right or a civil right, or should the government just get their nose out of it? We'll be back with all that coming up. Coach Joe Kennedy, again, Average Joe, the book. Back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. This is a show of Pastor Greg's old friends and longtime friends. We had Coach Joe Kennedy on just a moment ago, who's been a longtime friend, and it was so great to get to see him. And I'm so pleased to get to see and introduce my next guest. He and his wife Mary have been grassroots Texas friends for, goodness gracious, many years now, close to 10 years as well. And it's really a pleasure to welcome Dale Hulse, HulseInTheHouse.com, by the way. Dale is running for House of Representative here in Texas, and I welcome him to the program. Dale, welcome. Good to have you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Greg. It's been such a long time. You know, almost, you know, about a decade, I think.
Well, you know, I was trying to remember. Actually, I thought I saw you guys up in Temple since my accident, because my accident was 6 years ago. And so I think I saw you guys up in Temple at one of the Grassroots America gatherings up there when I was in my wheelchair. And as you mentioned, when we were in the green room, I was still looking pretty peaked.
Oh, yes, you were. And you look marvelous today. And thank God for your recovery. It is a blessing, truly.
Thank you so much. That means an awful lot. And I greatly appreciate you and your wife Mary's prayers. I know Mary is a powerful prayer warrior. And I know that I've been in her prayers, and I really appreciate that. Let's talk about this farming thing. And it's cool because you and I are going to kind of come at this a little bit differently, which is good, because these are the kinds of conversations. This is what the First Amendment is about. This is how America works itself out, right, is to have the conversations. So talk with me about your thoughts about the farming amendment in particular. And then the other piece to this is, as a whole, all of those amendments, and I take the position that a lot of these amendments, there's a lot of, you know, it's like I was watching Brad Johnson had written something on Texans about his surmise and positives, negatives, what have you. And there was one of them in there, and I'll get it up while you're talking about this, where I was like, yeah, but you're missing you're kind of missing the point here on this particular, on that. But we'll talk about these, but let's start with the farming one. Give me your thoughts on that.
Okay, well, when you first invited me on your show, you know, the question was farming. Is it a natural right or a civil right?
Sure.
And that got me to thinking and looking. And I'd already made my recommendations on Proposition 1, which is the what they call the Farming Amendment. So I looked a little deeper into that because I never really thought about it being a natural right or a civil right. And what I come to find out that farming is a synthesis of both those concepts, natural rights and civil rights. I mean, of course, Steve, we've got, you know, under God, we have the right to property. And that means with that right to property, you get to do what you want on your property. You get to manage the resources and provide for yourself through that ownership of property. You know, you also have the right to sustain yourself as another natural right. I mean, our Declaration of Independence said, you know, you have our inalienable rights, and that's what natural rights are, is they're human rights, that you have the right to life, liberty, and property. Of course, pursuit of happiness back then meant property.
Right.
So those things make farming a natural right per se. Also, you know, biblically, man was given stewardship of the earth and the animals in it. So again, farming meets all that criteria as being part of the natural rights set. But there's also a civil rights set to it, to that also. And civil rights are basically the legal structure that a society manages itself. And farming is no different than any others. You know, you wouldn't want, you know, to live in a suburb and somebody start raising hogs in their backyard. You know, that may be a little bit messy. So, you know, farming, you know, your rights in with somebody else, infringing on somebody else's rights. So I got to looking at that, and I did sort of look through the, you know, I was looking at the amendments, and I go, okay, so the proposed amendment as it appeared is the constitutional amendment protecting the right to engage in farming, ranching, timber production, horticultural, and wildlife management. Okay, well, this talks about making sure people have the right to do certain things on their own lands without interference, and that's important, and that included farming. But it's important to know that this amendment won't stop, you know, cities or counties or government from using eminent domain if they need to for the better good, or to put in regulations, the laws that sort of give you the civil rights aspect of that and say, well, you know, you can't house, you know, 200 chickens in your what little, you know, eighth of an acre subdivision house. You may have 6 chickens or 12 chickens, whatever it is. So there's that blend of civil rights and natural rights. So I basically came to, you know, and I've heard other people say, well, this is just a nose under the cannibal, you know, a camel's nose under the tent for corporate farming. And I go, I looked at the language and it doesn't say that. Now, there may be a reason why the lawmakers wanted to push this, but to me, it makes good sense. And I can argue that it does give you the right to make use of your land the way you want to, even if you're not a big corporate farmer. So I came out in support of this. Again, you may disagree with me. Anybody can disagree with me. This is not one of those major division sets that says, you know, either you're with me or against me. It's a way of affirming rights, you know, in a generic way. And that's exactly what I see it doing.
You know, I understand what you're saying. I guess the issue that concerns me is that every time that we coalesce to giving the government the ability, whether it's to give us a right or to take a right away from us, we immediately give them the further ability then to control and limit what that right's going to look like. So in this instance, right, you know, we have a situation now where the state legislature has decided for some reason that they need to become involved, that the state needs to get engaged. We already have local ordinances. There are local government ordinances that control the very things that you're talking about. In the city, you can't have, you know, a hog farm, for example, in downtown San Antonio, or, you know, or build a chicken coop on the top of your house that's going to house 100 chickens. The cities have the ability to say, no, we're not going to allow that in our city limits. But by the same token, a real rancher and a real farmer aren't going to want to put that kind of a thing in the middle of a city. They're going to want to be able to develop their land and their ground, and that's why people buy acreage out here in Texas, so that they have the opportunity to be able to do that. They can enjoy country living and also enjoy the city within 30 minutes to an hour from their home without, again, further intrusion from a higher level government. And that's the reason why I'm saying, no, I don't think that we want to. And here's the other thing, and this is something, and I know it's part of the reason that you're running for office, is because what do we have in Austin right now? We don't have Republicans. We don't have constitutional Republicans. And I'm talking about even at the governor's mansion. We do not have a constitutional republic type of government system. I remember sitting with Harvey Hildebrand and spending 2.5 hours, roughly 12 years ago, and him saying to me, well, you know we've got a supermajority, but, you know, we just kind of got to go along to get along because one of these days the Democrats are going to be in charge. And I said, okay, stop right there. If you're already acting like they're in charge, don't you think that the people who elect you are going to get tired of sending people that don't stand up for what they've sent them for, and that's how you'll lose the House? We're gentlemen, and no, this isn't about gentlemen or not gentlemen. This is about standing up for the rights and principles that we, the grassroots and all of Texans, say, hey, these are the things we want. And that's the other thing. I don't trust Austin. I don't trust these legislators. I don't trust the state of Texas right now as it sits under the people who are in charge, other than maybe a guy like Ken Paxton, who I do support. But I don't support the rest of them because I think that they're out every single time. They've been promising tax breaks and property tax cuts. And every time that they hand us one, like some of the ones they've put in this in these amendments, there's a little secret back door where in reality, more retired military, more retired individuals in Texas are losing their properties every single day because the local municipality gets the right to be able to screw the landowner over.
I totally get that. And, you know, when you talk about Ken Paxton, just a couple of days ago, I got on Halloween, actually, I got Ken Paxton's endorsement for state representative.
Cool.
But you're right. You know, you go to Austin, they lie. One of my campaign slogans is less Austin, more Texas. And that's what we got to get back in place.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Republicans and Democrats there. It's the uni party. It's the power elites.
Yeah.
There are probably only 6 real Republicans in the whole legislature in the House right now. When the border security bill was on its final vote in the first session, in the regular session, they killed it because they said it would be declaring war on Mexico. And the speaker killed the legislation. If we'd had 10 Republicans, just 10, that would have stood up and said, no, Mr. Speaker, you're wrong. And we're going to vote on this legislation anyway. It would have passed. And you know what? We would have had border security back in June rather than still fighting over it in a third special session.
Well, and let me add this too, and again, I don't know where you stand on it. I may get some pushback on it, and that's fine. I mean, these are great conversations we're having right now. The school choice, the governor is pushing school choice, school choice, school choice, and there are people who think, oh yeah, school choice, but again, as Alice Linehan argues, as I've had, you know, the common core diva Lynn M. Taylor on my program to argue. The problem here is the minute you introduce school choice, now you're taking government money. And the minute you take government money, the government is going to tell you how you are going to educate your child, no matter what school they're in, no matter where they go, including, and they're trying it here in Texas, they're trying to breach homeschool. They're trying to tell you how you can teach your kid in your own doggone home. And school choice is the first step to getting there. And everybody is blinded again by the reality that the minute you let the government in, they don't stop. They're like Pac-Man, man. They eat the whole thing.
Well, you know, Alice is a great friend of mine, and we go way back in the day also, as long as me and you've known each other. And I do love Alice, but, you know, in this case, she's using the argument, the reverse argument that the public school people use who are anti-school choice. They go, we can't have school choice. And I don't call it school choice. I call it parental choice. And this is one of those things where they say, if we give the parents the right to send their kids to homeschooling or private schools, it'll collapse the public school system. Well, that's not true. You know, the problem, you know, the reason why Texas public schools spend so much money is because they need so much money is because they spend so much money. Now, when you get the government strings, you know, it's the same thing. Okay, you've got money out there. Well, guess what? The government already has their foot into homeschooling. You have to meet certain standards. You have to do certain things as a homeschooler. Also, it's just not free reign. You know, I believe in free reign child rearing. You know, we expect that from our chickens. We should certainly have that from our children, right? You know, we want the best for them. And you know what? The best for them is what the parent decides, not what the state decides, not for what a coalition of well-meaning citizens decide. It's the parent, not anybody else. And, you know, if you, depending on what, you know, supposedly the school choice that I'm pushing for is that all options on the table. It's a la carte. You pick what you want. If you want a system that has government oversight, that's fine.
So here's what here's how you would rewrite it if it was me. I would rewrite it to say, if you as a parent choose that you're going to pull your child from public school, then you send in a form, you write something, whatever, and basically now that percentage of your property tax that would have been sent in, you keep. You keep it. And now you use that to send your child wherever you want to go. And here's why I suggest that. Because now the money's not funneling through the government back to you. When it's funneling through the government coming back to you, now they have a say in how you can spend it. Ultimately, that's how it's going to work. We know that's how it works. Whenever the government hands you a check, they say to you, now we have the right to tell you how you're going to spend that money. But if you become exempt, now it's your money. They never had it. It was never theirs. They can't touch it. You own it. And yes, now you have the right to be able to do what you want with your kids.
I don't disagree with that. In fact, you know, number one, I'm against property tax. Also, it's immoral. You know, but you know, until we can get rid of them, you know, I do believe that homeschoolers and folks like that should be exempt from paying property taxes. You know, whether there's a school choice education savings account or not, they should not be paying into that. This is something that they need to do. But when it comes down to strings, you know, government strings, you know, yeah, I get that. I mean, I find the government strings in our government schools outrageous to begin with. The STAR testing, that's not done anything for us. Now, one thing I would say about this whole school choice debate is there are 32 states with some form of school choice or another. There are only 18 states that doesn't have any. And Texas is one of them. And I suspect a lot of blue states are also that are controlled by teachers unions. So it's like, you know, it's working to some certain respects in 32 states. Why can't it work in Texas? Where is the data that says if you have school choice, that collapses the public school system?
Oh, I don't agree with that. Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. I don't. Yeah. I mean, that's my, as you heard, that's not my argument. My argument isn't that. Now, I happen to believe that the Department of Education is not a constitutional entity anyway. And so, therefore, really, school needs to be done on a local level. And, you know, I am proud to say that our grassroots group back in the day actually was had played a major role in Colonel Roy White, Lieutenant Colonel Roy White, and the Texas textbook gatherings, because we held meetings in a private home and helped recruit people to help him get that launched.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I totally agree with your point of view on that. It's just, you know, a way of how do we implement it? How do we go about doing this? And that, you know, people are searching for solutions. They don't trust government. You know, all our arguments against going, you know, sending our kids to public, quote unquote, public education is that, you know, it's the schools will do it better than the parents. And that's just not true. You know, back in the, you know, back in our founding, back for, you know, before there was a quote unquote public school system, parents decided what kind of education their kids got. You know, some people didn't even educate their kids. Some people went ahead and they put their money together and they went and had their children taught. They hired a school mom. I don't believe in the Department of Education at all. That should be the first thing that President Trump, when he gets back in office, eliminates. The second thing is, you know, I'm not big on state school control either. I think I like the idea of a ISD, an independent school district. Let them take the money that they raise in their district. Let them set the standards. Let them educate children according to the will of the people who live there. You know, rather than some statewide educational group and lobby out there that says your kids should be educated the same way as another. There's a difference between rural and there's a difference between urban students. And we need to recognize that distance. It's not one size fits all. I do believe in independent school districts as long as they're really and truly independent.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm trying to get that article from the Texans brought up. I gotta reach out to Connie. For some reason, they wiped out my subscription. I'm having trouble getting signed up to look at that particular one. But it's another one of those situations where one of the organizations that is associated with it, that's the key to tell you that it's not a good amendment. You know what I'm saying? You know. And you have to look. I'm not talking about the school. We're not the two that we're talking about. This is another one of the amendments that is on the ballot box, if you will. That again, you know, when you look at this, it's like, well, and here's part of the other issue that I want to bring up that I think we should talk about very, very quickly as we're closing out. The statistics show that Texans are known to vote yes on all of these amendments. As a general rule, if the legislature sends it to the people, they pretty much know they're going to get a stamp of approval and it's going to pass. Because the majority of Texans still, you know, as much as we're talking about, you know, there's distrust and there's this, but in reality, the majority of Texans seem to trust them enough that when they send an amendment out, they go ahead and vote yes on it. Because they assume, I guess, that the guys in Austin are not going to send them something that's going to be hurtful to them. That's scary to me.
It's terrifying. And you're right. That's the pattern. If they can get it onto a ballot in November, it usually passes, and it usually passes pretty well. You know, I can't really think of anything that was important that ever failed, you know, on a ballot amendment. You know, but I looked at these amendments, these 14 amendments, and then I had a very simple criteria when I looked at it. You know, I, you know, we talked about Proposition 1, but when you talk about the others where they said we're going to have these carve-outs from property taxes for the medical industry and somebody else, I'm like, you know what? I had lots of people go, no, you should vote against that because we shouldn't have special interest and, you know, everybody else pick up the burden. Well, I looked at it from a different way. Anytime I can reduce or get rid of a property tax for anybody, I'm for it. So I would have been for those amendments. Anything that says we want to create a special fund and get it off the general budget, I'm against. That's a roadway to corruption, special interest, and unaccountability that our state can't stand right now. I don't trust any unelected body out there to manage taxpayer money for, I don't care if it's a water fund or state parks or whatever. I just don't. You know, we should hold the people we vote for the most accountable the most. So they need to keep in control of that money, right, and they need to be held accountable for how it's spent.
Well, I'll tell you, something else just popped into my head, too, with regards to this. And again, I think for the grassroots, that there's a message that can be sent in this. There's only one amendment that I'm going to vote yes on, And that's the number three, which has to do with not taxing the wealthy. And my argument with regards to that is that once they tax one segment of us, they're going to come after all of us. And you and I both know they've been pushing for years to bring a state income tax into Texas. They've been working on that and working on that and working on that. And as soon as the Democrats can flip the House or get themselves to a position where they have leverage, they're going to run that one at us. So I would say no on that. But here's the message that I think grassroots can send to Austin by voting no on everything else. Hey, you know what? Maybe good, maybe bad, but we're not going to let you shirk your responsibilities and make us the fools. We're done being patsies. We're done being patsies for you not doing your homework, not doing your job, and trying to skirt around us, and then we're the ones who end up getting buried by your ignorance.
Well, this vote is coming up on the 7th. While important, is not the most important vote. The vote on March 5th, the primary,
absolutely,
that is going to be the most important vote.
And we'll get you back.
More challenges. Yep.
And we'll get you back, yes, before then. No. Go ahead. We got about a minute left. I just wanted to say we're going to get you back before then, because I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, what we have is we have 40-plus challengers against Republican incumbents. Yeah. And people are seeing that we need to change culture in Austin. We can no longer do it this way. You talked about people throwing bombs at each other, you know, Democrats and Republicans. You ought to hear how nasty Republicans talk to Republicans in the state legislature.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who believe in principle and freedom, and there are people who believe in their special corrupt interests. So those are the battles we have to fight today. So it is your vote and your support to challengers in these all these races that's going to make a difference. We need 10 solid, what I don't think conservative or Republican says enough. That it should be conservative Republican Spartans who will stand in the gap and stop these the uni parties, what I call it, from putting forth bad legislation or stopping good legislation. So we need to make a real change down in Austin.
No, we need a constitutional biblical candidates is who we need. People who fear God more than they fear man, who will stand on principle and not be bought out, and that will tell the Speaker of the House, felon, that we're not gonna stand with the felon any longer. Dale, thanks for being here. I greatly appreciate it. It was great to see you.
Thank you, Greg. It was wonderful to see you, and we'll talk to you again.
Absolutely. Holesinthehouse.com. You got my endorsement, brother. I'm with you. Holesinthehouse.com. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up. We're going to talk Israel with Dr. David Wormser. Don Jans joins me as well. Another nation has declared war on Israel. We'll talk about it coming up in the next half hour.
Thanks, Greg. We'll talk to you later.